The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Saturday, May 4th. If you're like me, you shop online a lot. In fact, nearly 8 in 10 Americans shop online, contributing to more than $1 trillion spent online last year. But here's the thing. There aren't that many rules and regulations that popular online marketplaces like Amazon must follow when it comes to the products they sell. There are some, but nothing for cybersecurity, for example. So you might be taking more of a risk than you realize when you buy. Technology writer Stacey Higginbotham found this out firsthand when she took part in a Consumer Reports investigation and found video doorbells sold on several major online marketplaces, including Amazon, Walmart, and more, were in fact extremely vulnerable to hackers, with the potential to send personal pictures and information to strangers. It was surprising to me, but not all that shocking to Higginbotham, who's been covering the tech world for 20 years now and is currently a policy fellow at the nonprofit Consumer Reports. She's explaining more about what she found in this investigation, and we're talking more broadly about how these same risks exist across the online shopping space. Plus, what does the Amazon Choice label really mean? Can you trust it to be a superior product? And what else can you look for to shop online in a safer, smarter, and more secure way? Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Stacey Higginbotham, thank you so much for joining us here on the Newsworthy.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I want to start with your investigation of those video doorbells that were sold online on places like Amazon, Walmart, and more. What prompted Consumer Reports to look into these doorbells? And just give us a brief summary of what you found.
Because these doorbells were so inexpensive, they range from like $30 to $45, and consumers seemed to be buying them, and they had like an Amazon Choice label, we decided that we would buy a few and test them in our labs. When we tested them, we realized that they had some very big cybersecurity flaws. Some of those flaws included transmitting personal data just in plain text over the Wi-Fi network. Another was the fact that if you press the doorbell button, you could actually reset it and put it on a new network. And if you did that, you could get like the serial number for the doorbell. And with that serial number, you could actually make a request to the backend server and start seeing images of people in the doorbell. Like, so if I'm walking my dog at 4 a.m, you could get an image of me doing that.
And I know that you found not only could hackers get access to the camera, but as you kind of mentioned, it went beyond that.
This product was put on the market without any kind of secure by design principles, it seemed. So it felt like there was no baseline level of security. I should mention that that has now changed. The company responsible for making these doorbells has actually implemented quite a few changes in response to our investigation, which is great. And they're still working on it.
Okay, so you're talking about Eakin Group Limited, right?
Yes.
Okay, and so they manufactured and owned all of these doorbells, but they were actually sold as different brand names, right? And I want to be clear for people, we're not talking about, you know, the Ring doorbell that a lot of people have and all the kind of the names that you've probably heard before. But as you said, these were still other doorbells that were being bought online by real people.
Yes, thousands were purchased. And Eakin is a company based in China. And what they do is they make the hardware and the software that you get with the doorbell. They then license that to other manufacturers in China who put their brand name on it and also sell it.
Do you think that hackers really did take advantage of this flaw or that it was just a potential?
It's really hard to say. When we tested this out, they didn't have some common policies that many companies implement. So like when we were trying to test if we could hack it, we actually hit their server with thousands of requests to try to see if we could actually pull these pictures off. Normally, companies will actually try to detect that type of activity and stop it, but they did not. So it's really hard to say if someone played around with this or not. I would also say that just as a prank-minded individual, I think of myself back when I was a teenager, honestly, I probably would have gone up to my friends' doorbells and like taken ownership of them just for fun, right? Not with any nefarious purpose, but just because I could, right? So there's also those kind of things that could have happened.
And one thing that you mentioned that was honestly a little, like was one of the most surprising things for me is that some of these doorbells online even had an Amazon's Choice label on them. So what does that label actually mean and how did that happen?
Amazon's Choice labels are actually algorithmically generated. There is no person applying this label. What Amazon looks at is, hey, is this product available? Does it have pretty high ratings? Can it ship quickly? Does it have any complaints? And then if a lot of people are buying it and those things are all true, then it just automatically gets this label.
And so there's, as you've said, there's no safety check on especially technology that could have some of these flaws.
I think what Amazon and consumers really rely on in marketplaces like that are reviews, right? But when it comes to things like cybersecurity, that's not something that your average consumer can actually review and then make a smart statement about, right? You just don't know. And we do need kind of another layer of protection or information for consumers.
So at this point, are there any regulations or standards that online retailers like Amazon and others must abide by before they're allowed to list a product from, you know, another company, a third party on their platform?
There are. Not related to cybersecurity, though. So any online seller has to abide by like federal laws. So they can't sell firearms. They can't sell products in this case that didn't have a visible FCC label on them. That was actually illegal in this case. And they don't have a lot of checks around that either. But there is a program at the FCC. It's called the U.S. Cyber Trustmark. Now, this is a totally voluntary program. The FCC just voted to create this program. And so we're hoping that we see this kind of label come out next year. And we're hoping to see that retailers like Amazon, Walmart, even Best Buy, places like that, will stock products with that label. And we're hoping that consumers actually look for this label. And when they see it, they're like, oh, this product is actually more secure. I should buy that instead of this maybe cheaper product that doesn't have the label.
And this is where maybe the FCC is actually running some of the same types of tests that you all did on these video doorbells.
Yes, although it won't be the FCC running the tests. There will be like third-party labs doing the tests. And we're still trying to develop what the actual tests will be. And by we, I mean people working on standards for the FCC.
We're not just talking about technology, though, when people are buying online. I mean, I think about the recent solar eclipse and how there were actually counterfeit solar glasses listed on Amazon that were later recalled, which that can be really dangerous if people look at the sun with counterfeit solar glasses, and it could cause them to go blind or have permanent eye damage. Did that sort of thing surprise you?
No, about 60% of Amazon's business today is actually third-party retailers. I feel like when consumers go shopping online, they need to be very cautious about who they're actually buying from and the reputation of the company and the product. And that is incredibly hard for them because in cases like cybersecurity or the eclipse glasses, that's not something the average consumer can review and rank appropriately. I feel like consumers, when they shop at Amazon, they may feel like they're shopping at a reputable department store, but in fact, they're kind of shopping in like a swap meet environment where you don't necessarily know what you're going to get.
And do you think there is a difference between, say, Amazon and, you know, Walmart online or Best Buy online?
I think all of these marketplaces are experimenting with third-party marketplaces, so having these third-party sellers.
And that's what it comes down to, not necessarily like Walmart's, you know, really working with the companies to decide what goes in its store. That's the comparison.
Yeah, I think the least intrusive thing that these kinds of online retailers can do for their business is at least make it more clear. Like, is this something that Walmart has actually commissioned and worked with the vendor to like put on their website? Or is this a third-party seller? Because I think there's different standards for those, and it's not very transparent for the consumer who they're actually buying from.
So what other actions can consumers like you and me take now to help us shop with more confidence? Stacey Higginbotham has some ideas for you, including specific things to click on and check. Plus, she's sharing the reaction she got from all those mentioned in the video doorbell investigation and whether you can still find some of them online. That and more just ahead. But first, a break for our sponsors. So after leaving TV news and becoming a mom, I just don't wear as much makeup as I used to. But I still want to love what I see every time I glance in the mirror. There's nothing like that feeling of being confident in your own skin inside and out. OneSkin's products have honestly made it easier for me to keep my skin healthy, which helps me look and feel my best. And this is key for me. There's no complicated, multi-step, hours-long routine, just simple, scientifically validated solutions made to fit my busy life. Cleanse, pat my face dry, apply, done. Plus, I've actually noticed the difference in my skin. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. And they've got several studies to back it up. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code NEWSWORTHY at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code NEWSWORTHY. And after your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, so please support our show and let them know we sent you. This episode is also brought to you by Boll & Branch. When we moved homes at the start of this year, we had a lot of different sheets that we had accumulated, so we knew we had to pick out our favorites and then just get rid of the rest. Well, hands down, my husband and I decided to not only keep our Boll & Branch signature sheets in the color sky that we had already, but we also decided to buy another pair in white to go better with a new Boll & Branch duvet set that we decided to get for the new house, too. Since we knew we already loved everything about Boll & Branch, we knew we would also love the duvet set. And I could not be happier with our new bed. Everything about it helps me sleep well and feel so cozy, and our bedroom looks amazing. The sheets are buttery soft and breathable. My husband and I have agreed that they are our favorite out of all the ones we've tried, and they're just the most comfortable. It's also important to me that Boll & Branch uses the finest 100% organic cotton that is completely free from toxins. So sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Boll & Branch. And if you don't love them, you can just send them right back for free. Get 15% off your order when you use the promo code NEWSWORTHY at bollandbranch.com. That's Boll and Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com, promo code NEWSWORTHY. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Okay, now back to our conversation. So can consumers do anything to help, you know, verify that these products they're buying are safe, secure, and legitimate?
Today, I would look to see who you're actually buying from. Looking at reviews will help, but it won't solve for some of these quality issues. And I would say if you're buying products that are health and safety important, like your Eclipse glasses, I don't know if I would pick those up on Amazon. I might actually go to a place where I can ensure that they're reputable.
Right. Like there was a link from the Astronomical Association to go and buy them directly off specific verified websites, for example.
Or your ophthalmologist's office. There's a lot of things people buy on Amazon from third-party vendors that are totally fine. I'm in love with a brand of beans, and I can only find them on Amazon. But I buy directly from that company's storefront, as opposed to maybe a cheaper third-party version of it, because I don't want to buy food off of a random marketplace.
And let's get specific. So under the title, because I've done this as well, under the title of the product, it says in a smaller kind of link blue font, the seller's name. And if you click on it, you can go see the storefront of that seller. And sometimes it's kind of like this random person selling a lot of different types of products. And then other times it's actually the store where they're only selling, you know, or the brand that where they're only selling their own products and they're selling the same type of stuff on their own website.
Yes. So if you click there, and I will say that in our doorbell investigation, Ekin had its own storefront. Actually, so did Tuck, another one of the brands that uses the Ekin hardware and software. So that will not always be foolproof. But for products like in my case, I know the brand. I saw that the storefront was legit and it linked actually back to the original seller. So I will take the risk there.
And in general, when we're talking about maybe unsafe or counterfeit items, how widespread of a problem is this?
It feels like a growing problem. I don't have data on how widespread it is because that's not something we've looked at a lot. But I know as a consumer that I have purchased things online more recently and I'm like, oh, this is not at all what I thought I was getting. And it may not have been counterfeit. It may just have been not as high quality as I thought it would be. Maybe it was not the brand that I thought it would be. So there is definitely, I mean, there's a huge opportunity for people to make a lot of money scamming people through these marketplaces because they don't have a lot of safety regulations in place.
And we see it time and time again where the law and legal restrictions and regulations just are not able to keep up with the pace of technology.
It's not just the pace of technology. Think of it as the pace of human ingenuity. If you see a loophole and you are a scammer, you are going to take it as quickly as possible because you know it will close eventually. And I think we often blame technology for this, but it's really people. It's really us.
Briefly back to your report on the doorbells, you said the manufacturer was actually, or the owner was actually receptive to what you found. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and their plans to fix it?
After the story was published, and we had reached out to Ekin prior to publishing, but we didn't hear back from them. But after the story was published, we did, and they have actually updated their software to fix some of the things we found, and they are actively still working on fixing some of the issues that we found. In our case, this is a win because at Consumer Reports, we want to draw attention to these things and we want to fix it so consumers are safer.
And when you spoke to online retailers like Amazon and others that were actually selling some of these doorbells, what sort of reception did you get from them?
We didn't hear back from Amazon at all. Temu, which is a Chinese company, they actually responded, investigated, and pulled the doorbells. Walmart has pulled some of the doorbells and did an investigation.
So before all of these doorbells are actually fixed, it sounds like some of them are still being sold.
You can go online and find these doorbells, but Ekin is fixing them. They have already fixed some of the issues that we discovered and are currently working on others. That is the nice thing when it comes to like connected devices, they can be updated over the air. So if a company discovers a vulnerability or someone discovers it and tells them, in most cases, a company will fix it.
Do you think that consumers will feel surprised to hear these types of things? What kind of reaction did you get even to your report?
There was surprise. Most of the surprise was from the tech press and kind of policymakers. Policymakers may not be as aware that these sorts of devices are so insecure and that people are buying them. I think the tech press spends a lot of time focused on big brands like Ring or Nest when they're doing their testing, and they don't always test for cybersecurity. I think we helped expose this whole underground of cheap IoT devices that people don't really think about or look at. But I can tell you, a lot of people buy this stuff because they want this sort of product. They just want to pay a good price for it.
Any final thought or takeaway for our audience after all of this discussion?
It's hard to figure out if something is secure or not. And the idea that something will stay secure forever is wrong. So if you're going to buy a connected device, buy from reputable companies that have a history of accepting that they may have made a mistake in fixing those mistakes.
So as our guest did mention, the company that produces those video doorbells we were talking about has taken steps to fix the security flaws. So we've linked to Consumer Reports' most updated article in our episode notes on our website, as well as information about the FCC's new U.S. cyber trust mark. Thank you so much to Stacey Higginbotham for sharing her reporting and insights with us. And be sure to check out more of Consumer Reports' investigations into everyday products at consumerreports.org. Thank you so much for joining us for this special edition episode. If you found it interesting, send a link to a friend and tell them about our regular weekday episodes too, where we bring you the day's news in our signature fast, fair, fun style. You only need about 10 minutes each weekday. So we'll be back on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.